I am going to read a selection of papal poetry from The Pope Mobile and Other Equivocations, poems by and about famous popes and saints of the Catholic Church. This was by Michael R. Birch, an editor and publisher of Holocaust Poetry. The first poem comes from Pope John Paul II, and these are lines from his Meditations on the Book of Genesis at the threshold of the Sistine Chapel. From dust you came, and to dust you shall return. What had shape is now shapeless. What was alive is now dead. And what was beautiful is now the ugliness of decay. And yet I do not altogether die. What is indestructible in me remains. What is imperishable in me now stands face to face before him who is. This is a poem by Michael R. Birch called Simple Simon. It says, be fruitful and multiply. Great advice for a fruit fly. But for women and men, Simple Simon, say when. He says about this poem, in my poem, Simon is a pun, as the name of the first pope was Simon Peter. But Simon Peter was married, so this begs the question, why are Roman Catholic priests required to remain celibate if the first and greatest pope was married? This question seems especially pertinent today because of many children have been molested and raped by Catholic priests. Is priestly celibacy the wisdom of God or the folly of human religion? The next is a poem by Pope Benedict XVI, and this is a translation from the original Gott allein genügt, which is God alone is sufficient in English. God alone is sufficient. What else the heart would also love, what it yearns to embrace, what it is driven to achieve, these are merely imitations of him, are merely the spore that point us towards him. He is the one who gives everything. God alone is sufficient. The next is by Robert Frost, called Forgive, O Lord, and it is just a couplet that says, forgive, O Lord, my little jokes on thee, and I'll forgive the great big one on me. This is called First Confession by X.J. Kennedy. Blood thudded in my ears. I scuffed, stepped stubborn to the telltale booth, beyond whose curtain portal coughed the robed respiter of truth. The slat shot back. The universe bowed down his cratered dome to hear, enumerated by each curse, the sip snitched from my old man's beer. My sloth pride envy lechery, the dime held back from Peter's pence, with which I'd bribed my girl to pee that I might spy her instruments. Hovering scale pans when I'd done, settled their balance slow as silt, while in wrestling dark I burned, bright as brimstone in my guilt. Until as one feeds birds he doled, seven our fathers and a hail, which I to double scrub my soul intoned twice at the altar rail, where Sunday in seraphic light, I knelt as full of graces most, and stuck my tongue out at the priest, a fresh roost for the Holy Ghost. Another set of lines from Meditation of the Book of Genesis at the Threshold of the Sistine Chapel by Pope John Paul II. It is here, beneath the wondrous Sistine profusion of color, that the cardinals assemble. The community responsible for the legacy, the keys of the kingdom, they come here to this very place, and once more Michelangelo wraps them in his vision. In him we live and move and have our being. The colors of the Sistine will then speak the word of the Lord, to S. Petrus, once heard by Simon, son of John, to you I will give the keys of the kingdom. During the conclave, Michelangelo must teach them, do not forget, omnia nuda et aperta sunt ante oculos eius. You who see all, point to him. He will point them out. Now here's a really awkward poem. It's called The Pope's Penis by Sharon Olds. It hangs deep in his robes, a delicate clapper at the center of a bell. It moves when he moves, a ghostly fish in a halo of silver seaweed, the hair swaying in the dark and the heat, and at night while his eyes sleep, it stands up in praise of God. A little awkward. Another from Pope John Paul II called Material. Listen, the even knocking of hammers, so much their own, I project onto the people to test the strength of each blow. Listen now, electric current cuts through the river of rock, and a thought grows in me day after day, the greatness of work is inside man. Hard and cracked, his hand is differently charged by the hammer, and thought differently unravels in stone as human energy splits from the strength of stone cutting the bloodstream, an artery in the right place. Look how love feeds on this well-grounded anger, which flows into people's breath as a river bent by wind, and which is never spoken but just breaks in high vocal chords. Passers-by scuttle off into doorways. Someone whispers, yet here is a great force. Fear not. Man's daily deeds have a wide span, and a straight riverbed can't imprison them long. Fear not, for centuries they all stand in him, and you look at him now, even through the knocking of hammers. Bound are the blocks of stone, low-voltage wire, cuts deep into their flesh, an invisible whip. Stones know this violence, when an elusive blast rips their ripe compactness and tears them from their eternal simplicity. The stones know this violence. Yet can the current unbind their full strength? It is he who carries that strength in his hands, the worker. Hands are the heart's landscape. They split sometimes like ravines into which an undefined force rolls. The very same hands which man only opens when his palms have had their fill of toil. Now he sees because of him alone others can walk in peace. Hands are a landscape. When they split, the pain of their sores surges free as a stream. But no thought of pain, no grandeur in pain alone. For his own grandeur he does not know how to name. No, not just hands drooping with hammer's weight, not the taut torso, muscles shaping in their own style, but thought informing his work, deep knotted in wrinkles on his brow, and over his head joined in a sharp arc, shoulders and veins vaulted. So for a moment he is a Gothic building, cut by a vertical thought born in his eyes. No, not a profile alone, not a mere figure between God and the stone, sentenced to grandeur and error. And we will end with an elegy for Pope John Paul II, written by Joe M. Rugier. It's called Man of Destiny. He was mighty, he was strong, a superpower. He was a pillar of the faith, a tower. He lasted longer than any pope but two. He rent the iron curtain, adored the poor. He adored the youth, youth adored him. He honored suffering. He was likewise gentle with the ignorant, yet he was worthy of the name of intellectual, man of letters. He had mastered art of body communication arising from his genuine theatrical flair, a dramatist's unerring sense of timing, conveying innermost spirit through outward stance. He was of all the popes the most widely traveled, with a reputation for building community wherever he landed, his parish the wide, wide earth. He honored 500 saints and thrice as many beati, whose glorious ranks he may yet join, as time confirms his holiness. A total man of colossal honor and integrity, breadwinner to all the church. Yet he was gentle and forbearing with me, a total stranger. He noticed my writings, however insanely busy, and often sent me gracious acknowledgments. The last received mere days before he died, the mere touch of his words as of Christ's garment was enough, allowing me to use him to grow. He bore my insults for the gospel with genuine forbearance, passing them over with heroic silence, and always pointing to what was positive. May his shining spirit embrace and shield me always, to inspire and to bless me and encourage me. May the Father reward him richly, the Son confirm the task well done, and may the Spirit spread his influence throughout the ages, through all the saints he honored, as he tried hard to build bridges between heaven and earth.